May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Online, there is a meme format that juxtaposes expectation with reality. In case you're unfamiliar with it, I've asked Troy and Steve to share a couple with us here up on the screen. Have you ever taken on a task, a project, or a trip and had a vision in your head that you weren't quite able to achieve? Expectations sometimes just don't match reality. And the same can be said about God's Messiah. What was expected by the people, anyway, was a political or military leader who came in and pushed out Israel's enemies and reestablished Israel as a sovereign and powerful nation that could make their adversaries pay for past abuses. Now, this juxtaposition of expectation and reality is probably most obvious to us at Christmas and Easter. Surely God's Messiah was not meant to come in a manger or die on a cross. Now, while the starkness is most obvious on our two major holidays, if we're attentive to it, we can see the incongruence between expectation and reality throughout our Gospels. Preoccupied with their own expectations, Jesus' followers struggle to catch up with what God is actually doing. We can think of Peter's bold rebuke of Jesus' teaching that he would suffer and die. Or we can think of the disciples arguing over which of them is most important. Or we can think of how the disciples worry over what to eat right on the heels of Jesus having fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus' followers just didn't get it. But what is worse is that Jesus' enemies exploit this inconsistency between expectation and reality to justify their own evil. We can think of the chief priests, scribes, and elders at the crucifixion who mocked Jesus. He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him. They think staying on the cross demonstrates Jesus can't possibly be who he said he is. He can't be the Messiah. Now, of course, the Messiah did redeem and restore Israel, and he did fulfill the mandate to Israel to be a blessing to all nations, just not in the way anyone expected. But unlike from our memes this morning, where the reality is markedly less good than the expectation, who hasn't abandoned a New Year's resolution a week into the year, after all? The issue with the people's expectation of the Messiah was actually that it was too limited. In the case of the Messiah, the reality far exceeded expectations, if you have eyes to see it. In reality, God's Messiah pulled back the curtain on the kingdom of God to reveal values that just do not compute with the values of our world. Previously on Days of Our Lives, or insert whatever television show comes to mind, TV shows often begin by reminding viewers of what happened before, so that they're able to follow what is about to happen if they happen to just be tuning in or it's been a long summer break. Now, this little snippet is just a summary, so obviously it doesn't include all the details. But have you ever noticed that what they do include in the recap often sort of gives you a clue for what to expect in the upcoming episode? They choose what to refresh your memory on they do that on purpose, right? Very purposefully. Well, the same is true for Luke's two-volume work. As Pastor Doug said, the gospel that bears Luke's name is followed up by a second installment that we know as the Acts of the Apostles. And in the prologue to Acts, which Pastor Doug read for us this morning, Luke kind of does that previously through his prologue. And the things he highlights are themes that will also carry through the next episode of the story that he's telling. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Now, the gospel was what Jesus began to do and teach. We can kind of suss out that this second volume will cover what Jesus continues to do through the Spirit-filled apostles and church. If you were here with us on Confirmation Sunday, you could say that this is Luke's way of communicating that though Jesus will no longer be present on earth, nothing is over. The prologue summarizes Jesus' death, resurrection, and a period of 40 days after when Jesus was with the disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God featured prominently during Jesus' earthly ministry, and the reader can expect that it will also feature prominently in Luke's second volume as well. Jesus gave the disciples the instruction not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And that is what they do. Now, have you ever noticed, if you've spent any time with children, that they can be very singularly focused? On a road trip, they can be obsessed with the destination. Are we there yet? It doesn't matter if there's beautiful scenery along the way, they want to know when they'll arrive. Or at their birthday parties, it can be hard for them to even enjoy games and cake because they just have to know what's in that stack of presents. How many times as adults have we said to the children in our lives, just try to enjoy what you're doing right now? Probably about as many times as the adults in our lives had to say it to us when we were children. The apostles in today's story kind of reveal their own inner child. After seeing all the ways that Jesus defied their expectations as Israel's Messiah, still they ask, is it time now? They continue to hold out hope that eventually Jesus is going to get around to being the Messiah they expected. Jesus has told them to stay in Jerusalem and await the Holy Spirit, and their response is, oh, that will be when God acts the way that we want God to act. They continue to misunderstand. In their question, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? They reveal that they are still unsatisfied with what God has accomplished through Jesus. They are still fixated on the expectations that they had of the Messiah. But the disciples' question also gives voice to another concern that we can imagine was growing among the early church. Now, Jesus had said he was coming back. And by the time Luke writes, many decades after Jesus' departure, it's becoming clearer that that return is not as soon as they had thought. So the question here, right at the beginning of Acts, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Does double duty. As we've already said, within the narrative, it's the disciples once more trying to grasp control of the situation. Are we there yet? How much longer? But for the people to whom Luke writes, it sets up an opportunity to reassure them. Because we can imagine, Acts is probably written somewhere between 80 and 90 AD, we can imagine that their growing concern that Jesus had not yet returned. And we can imagine that they're starting to wonder, do you think he's really coming back? But they can read these reassuring words from Jesus' own lips. Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Jesus reminds his disciples that God's timing is not ours to know. There's no need to panic that something is amiss. It's just not ours to know. Which really shouldn't surprise anyone, because Scripture is full of promises made by God that do not come to pass according to the desired timetable of those involved. Once again, God's people must trust God and God's timing. It's not theirs to know, but there is a but here. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus pushes the disciples to move from focusing on knowledge to focusing on mission. The Holy Spirit will come. Now, they don't know it, but we know that it'll be about 10 days from here. And when the Holy Spirit comes, they will be empowered to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And at that, Jesus ascends into heaven. Now, just imagine that for a moment. Hey, friends, you're all on a need-to-know basis, so just hang tight right here in Jerusalem. I'm heading out. And, oh, by the way, go ahead and be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, just the whole world. These are Jesus' parting words to them. Now, thinking once more about television shows and their tropes, this is like that moment in a sitcom when someone says, whatever you do, don't, and then gets interrupted. Or, the killer was, and then gets interrupted. What is the rest of that sentence? We can imagine the disciples are like, you want us to do what now, and how, and he's gone. Two men in white robes appear and ask the disciples why they're looking up to the sky. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Again, they reassure them Jesus is going to return. But in the meantime, stop just standing around. In the meantime, remember that but that Jesus gave you. You've got work to do while you wait for that time yet to come that is set by the Father's authority. And that is what the disciples do. They wait in Jerusalem as Jesus told them to, and the Holy Spirit comes, which we'll celebrate here in the next couple weeks, and they continue the work begun by Jesus, which is what the rest of the book of Acts is all about. Now, here in 2024, we know better than even the disciples did, or Luke's original audience did, just how much it is not ours to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. We're still waiting. But Jesus' instructions remain the same. But we cannot know when or how God will act, but while we wait, the church still has the same work to do, to make sure the good news of God's love reaches the ends of the earth. At the ascension, Jesus took his place at the right hand of God, where he reigns in a way very different from how those on the ground in the first century expected him to come and be Messiah. Expectation did not meet reality, but exceeded it. The church trusts that Jesus will one day come again, and by now we've pretty much come to terms with not knowing when to expect or what to expect. But maybe, just maybe, we'll finally catch on that the reality, whatever it is, will far exceed any expectations we might have. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.